It's probably used more than any verse in Galatians, though Galatians is a great book. It was Luther's Katharina von Bora. He regarded this as the key to the Reformation, though many of you think it might be Romans or something else. Actually, this was the book. And the reason is because it rightly divides the word between soul and spirit. And the lukewarm church that we live in today, or that we're familiar with, is not able to do that. It's soulish, even though it has spirit. You can't mix spirit, a little bit of spirit, a lot of spirit, with a little bit of soul or whatever. It's got to be no soul at all. Has to be total crucifixion of the soul, because he's coming back not for a harlot church, but for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such blemish, stain, anything that would mar his glory. Now, the only language that we're allowed is the language of worship. You are not allowed to do good works. You're not allowed to do any work whatsoever. You are not. But worship is not a work of the flesh. It's not soulish. It's not intended to be something that you perform or that you do or that you accomplish. But it's a thank you, you've done everything. I praise you, you are everything. And I love you because you have chosen us, me. And so therefore, worship is the one thing that God wants. He doesn't want your offerings, doesn't want your sacrifices, doesn't want your atonement. You can't make what God has already done, because he only accepts perfection, and only God does that which is perfect. And you cannot. You cannot. It's not just that you did not. You cannot. He actually made you existentially in your existence so that you could do so much, but none of it would be acceptable. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So that's as much as you can accomplish. Nothing. So you can be good for nothing. And many of you have done that, and it's wonderful. You are good for nothing. All right. So God has given us a task, a duty, that you can never perform. Therefore, you have a debt that you can never pay. Therefore, God intends, not with his left hand where the law is. Everything in the world is under his left hand, everything. Sin and death, the law of sin and death. Over here is the law of life. Life, the Chaim. That life is eternal life. And in the New Testament Greek, it's Zoe, just like the first young lady that was up here. Zoe means a kind of life that's not bios. Bios, like biology. That kind of life you have and you breathe like animals do. So you have the same kind of life, you're alive, existentially. But you must choose, essentially, who you are, how you shall act, how you shall be. And God has chosen not to accept any of your works, but only to make a promise which he himself will fulfill. So all the offering that he wants from you is praise. All the offering he wants from you is adoration. All the offering he wants from you is to thank him continually. And I remember her verse today was, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he, not you, but he will direct your paths. He will guide you in the right way. But the wrong way is to do something. The right way is he's already done everything. Did you know that every good work that you could possibly do was already done before the foundation of the world? There's nothing you could do except to enter into what's already done for you by him. So therefore, he is your righteousness. Now, the church today does not understand passive righteousness. Passive means not active. So when it's active, you did it. and whatever you do is going to be sinful. So, now, I want you to say that. Everything I do is sinful. Then, how can you do anything good? Oh, it's so easy. You don't. He does. But he does it for you, then in you, then through you. Dikaiosune, hagios, doxa. 1, 2, 3. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. So spirit, soul, body, etc., etc., etc. So God wants to actively do everything because, you may not know this, he's the only actor in the universe. In other words, there's no one else that can do anything. Everything we do is vain. Man at his best state. Very religious, very moral, nice, kind, so on and so forth. That's all vanity. Nothing. Zero. So God won't accept it. He wants perfection. He doesn't grade on a curve. Well, I did better than she did. He doesn't grade on a curve. So it doesn't make any difference. It's an absolute standard. Be perfect as I am perfect. Now, he gave that law to Moses, summed up in those words, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and the love of thy neighbor as thyself, so that no one could do it. He gave a law that no one could do. But he, through his own providing of the lamb, his own providing of the offering, the sacrifice, the atonement, he would provide what he required. So everything he's required of you, he actually has done and is now doing it for you, in you, through you. You're born of the Spirit, that's for you. You're then destroyed, killed, crucified daily in the Spirit. I don't think most people think of the Spirit as a killer, but he's an absolute killer of anything of the soul, of anything that lives in his presence. He can't accept it. It's not acceptable to him. So therefore, your labor, your behavior, your not doing bad or start doing good is not what repentance means. To repent means to change your mind about what you think is good and evil, what you think God requires. So what he requires, he also supplies, but he wants to do it from his right hand. So everything in his right hand is mercy. Everything in his right hand is a gift. Everything in his right hand is a relationship so intimate, so loving, so overwhelming, so full, so kind, so glorious, that that's what God wants for you every day. There's your happiness. There's your joy. There's your peace. There's your love. There's your patience. There's your kindness. There's your goodness. You don't have fruits of the Spirit. I know you think you do. It is, well, I want to show my appreciation. You can't. The only way you can do is thank you, I praise you, and I adore you. You can't do a good work. So even though you do it, you didn't do it. The new you, which is Christ in you, not you. So that new you is an eternally spiritual you, not the old you of the flesh, the soul, the soulish, selfish you. So God wants to give you something that you'll never understand with your brain. You can't understand it. You just hear it. You don't know what he's talking about. You just one day hear it and believe it without understanding. Amen. You don't have this kind of understanding. This wisdom comes from above. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So you can't think it through. He must daily, continually, constantly reveal himself, not some revelation about some truth. He is the truth. Yes. He is the revelation. And he is demonstrating to the world, not to the church, to the world through the church as his salt, his light, so that he manifests his glory. So this book of Galatians treats of this subject in a way that neither Romans nor the others actually have touched. That's why it's a very valuable to those of us who are Protestant, because as you know, the Catholic Church did teach and still does teach that man should behave himself. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing, I'm sorry to be blunt, But scripturally, it has nothing to do with God. He doesn't want man to behave. He doesn't want man to be a monk or a nun or some kind of pope or priest or something. And he doesn't want Protestants to do it either. So when you're filled with your spirit, you're dead. If we had a glass and we filled it with something, it would replace something else. And what the something else is that all you were created to do is to be a vessel for the living God. All you were created to do is to be in a relationship with something more valuable than thou art. You are not God, cannot be God, will never be God, can never be good. Ever. For all eternity. So I'm going to go to heaven and then I'll be good. No. Well, I'm going to start now. No. Can't. Because God wants all the glory, because you're made that way, to be the vessel, the container, the cup, the dish, the bowl, the bag. It doesn't matter. The vessel is not what counts. It's what's held in that vessel. There's the treasure. So that treasure is what God wants, which is himself. It's not a mansion in the sky. It's not gold streets. It's not miracle signs and wonders. What it is God himself revealing himself through us who were once flesh and blood. And he wants to do that. Buddha can't do that. No Buddha can actually perfect a person. But our God can use us to glorify himself, because anyone who could do God's will and purpose on earth, it would be miraculous. It would be miraculous. But that happens to be the only thing he does. He doesn't do anything else but the miraculous. Every word, every deed, everything that he thinks and says is miraculous to us. So therefore, you don't do miracles. You don't do mighty works. It looketh like, peereth like, but don't judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment according to the scripture. It's from the right hand. It's a gift. So he has chosen you. You did not choose him. You did not choose to be a follower of God, a child of God. You did not choose to bear fruit for God, but he chose you. So the fruit that you bear is actually not your fruit, therefore you don't get the glory. When men see your good works, they glorify your Father in heaven. Why would they do that? Why wouldn't they glorify me since I bore those? I mean, after all, God started it and then I finished it. Has anyone tried that? That I think I'll help God out. Good thing you chose me. I think I know what I'm doing. God doesn't want you to get any glory at all. I'm going to say it again. He doesn't want you to obtain it as though he paid a wage to anybody. That's why he gave the workers who worked the heat of the day and the ones that worked 1 hour of the day and so on and so forth. That's why he gave them the same, is because it's not a wage. It's actually himself. And he can do what he wishes with his own mercy. So the right hand of mercy is what rescues us from the law of sin and death. So you cannot die. It's impossible. Once you come by faith in his promise, then there's no way that you can sin or anything. You can't stop or start. He is your life. Totally. Zoe. Absolute eternal life. So it starts out saying, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? So foolish is anoetoi, meaning your mind is not working. Your mind doesn't work, your natural mind. So as many degrees as you can get, as much learning as you can get, as much TV as we can watch, as much Facebook as you can study from, it's not going to help, because you are mindless. You don't have a mind that works, even though you have a mind that he created, and it's a good mind. But it doeth, it chooses to use it in a way that was not designed by your creator, who destined you to show forth his glory, to reveal his glory. And anybody can come, whosoever will may come. So there is nothing you need to do to qualify. You're pre-qualified by faith in his promise. So he doesn't want your behavior, he wants to keep his promise. How many know it's better to trust in God to keep his promise than us. It's just a lot better not to rely on people. That's why the Bible says, put not your trust in princes. Sounds like political something, maybe. Why can't you trust politicians? Have you learned that so far? Did you see the 17 dwarfs and then the others and so on and so forth? None of them are worthy if they imagine they know what they're doing. Because only God is in charge. God's always been in charge. He always gets his way. The devil's never done one thing, nor can he. So he loses. Now, that should give you some relief. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. What I will give to you is something you can't get, rest. In other words, I don't want you to make the sacrifice. Father, here's the wood, here's the fire. But where's the offering? Where is the sacrifice for the burnt offering? God himself will provide the lamb. God himself will provide the atonement. God himself will do everything he requires of you, he will provide. So he doesn't want you to make a sacrifice, to do anything, because anything that you do, this is the Bible, and this is not psychology, this is not society, this is not, you know, Obama, this is not Hillary, this is not someone out there running for office who tells you how great they are. Only God is great. Only God is good. No one else is good but God, Jesus said. So Jesus said, no one is good. Well, you are, some said. No, the Father who dwells in me doeth the works. So if Jesus is a not doer of the works, but the Father who dwells in him, relationship, and he is then the vessel for, the steward of, the trustee to show forth, magnify, and declare unto the world by deeds and words, then he didn't do them. He rested in the Father. So that's why he came to earth to show us what it's like to be a true man, a true person. A true person does nothing but his Father's will, does nothing on his own. Does nothing apart from him for his own account. But he said, I always do what's pleasing to my Father, which is don't do anything on your own. Do everything from me, through me, by me, with me. To God be the glory. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Glory to God in the highest. Here it is. This is the glory to God in the highest. The glory is peace on earth, goodwill to men. Why? Because men will never find peace. There's no way men can live together. It doesn't make any difference if you're Christian or you're not Christian, you're immature or you're mature. Men cannot live with one another. The whole point of being on earth is we can't get along with anybody else. And that's the first lesson you're going to learn is there is no utopia. There is no wonderful world. There is no something wonderful to look forward to. Let's restore America. Let's try to build something. So be a model for the world. Won't happen. Why? Because it's the church. So politics can never, ever arrive anywhere. Nor can economic systems, programs. So man will never solve any of those problems. Social problems. You can't put people together because of sin. But what is sin? Sin is not what you do or don't do. Sin is not believing that God is God. He's everything. And so therefore he has everything rigged. It's all set up. You win. Anyone who believes on me, anyone who believes that I alone am God, that one will be not only resurrected from the dead, you've already been resurrected from the dead if you believe on him. When he died, you died. Now, that is not a self-evident truth. So if I say, when he died, a man 2,000 years ago in Israel, when he died, you died, that doesn't make any sense, but that's the Bible. That's the book of Galatians. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's not I that live, but Christ liveth his life, eternal, Zoe, in me. Therefore, that's my life. That's my righteousness. That's my joy. That's my peace. That's my love. That's my everything. I don't have that. If you break the branch off from the tree, it produces nothing. But if you leave it in the tree, and by the way, the branch never jumps up into the tree. Have you ever seen that? You know, branches just jump up right up into trees. You can see the branches breaking off from trees, but they never jump back up into trees. Because God is the tree, not you. So Jesus is the vine. You are the branch, but the Father is the vine dresser who puts you in through his Son by that promise from his right hand. God does everything through two hands. It's either left or right. There's no middle. Everything I was taught in school was gray. There is no black, there is no white, they said. Everything is gray. It's somewhere in the middle. For me, nothing is gray. Everything is black and white. This Bible is the only book in the world that is completely black and white. You're either for me or you're against me. You're either lie or you're truth. You're either darkness or you're light. You're either this or you're that. So if you've been born again, that was a gift. That was a pure gift. And we've all been born again. How? Through faith. Dikaiosune. That means it wasn't something you deserved. It was something he gave you because he created you. Did you know that he wants to give every created person, creature, you, me, his life, his joy, his peace, his everything, then you have peace on earth. So we have peace on earth. Did you know that we have peace on earth? You don't have to see it. You don't have to understand it. You don't even have to want it. That's who you are. Not existentially by your existence in nature, but essentially because you have chosen to believe in him who gives you that that you didn't have, which is himself. That's what worship is all about. That's what life is all about. That's what everything is all about. So everything else is waste. It won't happen. It'll never take place. So it's good to get rid of all your illusions about your capacity or your ability. God wrote upon every natural man. He wrote his own law on every man's heart. Be good, don't be bad. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that if you bite my hand, I know that's bad. I don't know why, but I just know that. That is bad. But if I bite your hand, I know that was okay because I have a story I could tell you why I did that. So I can justify my goodness, my innocence in doing that. But I know when you did it, it was wrong. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows right and wrong. What they don't know is, in any given instance, how do I know what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is true, what is false? How do I know what's just? How do I know what's unjust? You don't. There's no way you could know. You don't eat of that tree. You will never know good and evil. You'll never know what is good, what is right, what is true, what is just. Never. So man is doing something that he cannot do. That's called idiocy. So, oh foolish Galatians, and no atoi, what it means is you're mindless. You're using your mind in an irrational fashion because your mind can't know. It can know there's good and evil, but it doesn't know in any given instance what is and what isn't. Because only God, you have to go and ask Father. You have to go to your Father in heaven to find out, is this good or is it bad? Should I do this or should I do that? And if he doesn't reveal it, you can't know it. So you have to seek him. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and then if they will pray, and then if they will seek my face, and then if they will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sins, not Obama's sins, not the world. He's not interested in the world. He doesn't care that they are doing nothing good. Doesn't care. Not going to judge it. Judgment begins in the household of God. So that's where he's doing all his judging today. So all of his judgment don't fall on the wicked right now. They only fall on the righteous. But they are chastening. He's trying to destroy your illusions, destroy your self-confidence, your self-righteousness, your self. He's not interested in the sins you've done. He's interested in the tree that produced those sins, which was you. But you're not the tree of life. You have to eat of the tree of life. So Jesus said, eat of me. Unless you drink my blood, unless you eat my body, you have no part in me. So what he's saying is, unless you believe that everything I've said, because we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, continually present, active, indicative. So the present, active, indicative is continually proceeding out of my mouth, not just speaking one word like, let there be light, and then it's over. No, he has to keep talking, otherwise it all goes. So unless God talks, you can't live. So you kiss him. Actually, the word for worship in the New Testament is proskuneo. Proskuneo means to kiss toward the mouth, or with the hand touch the mouth of God so that you hear his words and kiss him. It's actually a kiss. So worship is really to kiss the mouth of God with your hand. Now, little Danny, whom I was with yesterday in Connecticut, little Danny is only 3. And so as I'm leaving, saying, Grandpa Jim, you didn't kiss me. And he's across the room and I'm walking out. You know, Grandpa Jim, you didn't kiss me. And so he blew the kiss to me with his hand like that, because he understands worship. He understands what it is to love somebody and then express it in a way that that other person is completely blessed. And even though he's 3, he knows exactly that God does everything. For example, I threw him a football, and he's only 3, and only loses it each time, and then one time he caught it. And I said, how'd you do that? Because he's just a little kid, and this football's big. But he got it. Jesus did it. So I said, he's a Christian. There it is. He's a Christian. Because he knows everything he does. Grandpa Jim, Jesus did it. And he's got that down. Of course, he has 7 older brothers and sisters who constantly are talking about Jesus. The one's graduated from college, and 2 in college, and so on and so forth. So he's got a lot of help as to his vocabulary, and he just sounds like an adult. He completely sounds, you know, you can't believe all the vocabulary he has and all the words he uses. And he's just so easy about it, just so casual about it. Jesus. Jesus did it. And he just knows that Jesus did it. And it's sweet. It's like heaven on earth. Did you know that when God gives you something, he doesn't give you half of the Holy Spirit? He doesn't say, well, you owe a debt, I'm going to pay part of it. He actually gives you everything at once. He sets you completely free forever. He gives you everything. He doesn't have a down payment, and then later you get the rest. He gives you everything at once, because when you receive Christ Jesus, he also freely gives you all things. So once you receive from God, you can have heaven on earth right there. You can immediately experience a perfect marriage, a perfect church, a perfect everything. Doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter. That's only on earth that you see it that way. But God, who is not subject to time or space, it's done. It's finished. It happens instantly. So there's no promise. There's no time. A promise is something you give and you don't see it, and you don't see it, and then you see it later. But there's no promise with God. What God hath said in heaven is done. So it doesn't say what you do on earth, the Father will do in heaven. It says the opposite. It says whatever has already been done in heaven. That's the Greek. The English just says whatever you do, he does. He confirms it. Not true. The Greek is very clear. Whatever you have already done in heaven, whatever has already been done, finished in heaven, then you on earth can enter into that, because it's already been done by faith, not by works, not by any effort, not by any understanding. You can't do it. You just simply find yourself believing a promise because you're desperate. So you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Have you ever noticed that self-righteous people they have trouble hearing this gospel because they want to do the will of God. But if they want to do the will of God, I'll give a scripture for that. Lord, Lord, we did many mighty works in your name. Depart from me, you evildoers. How many know if you do works in his name, it's evil? Did you hear that? So we did this and we did that. We did this and we did that. He knew right away, First of all, you made a big mistake. You called me Lord. How can you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? But yet you can't do what I say. You should have called me Savior, Savior, and I would have forgiven you. But because you called me Lord, Lord, I knew that you did not do what I had said because you told me all the things you did. You didn't give me the glory. You didn't say, Father, I did nothing. You did everything. You were the lead ox. I just was pulling along with you, but I thought I did something, but actually you did everything. So God is using us to glorify himself by using someone that can't do anything apart from me. But in me, you can do all things. So how many of you can do all things? Not in heaven. You can do all things now because we're already in heaven. It doesn't say we're going to heaven. I know we think we're going to heaven someday. But actually, you're already seated with Christ now in heavenly places. Where I am, you shall be also. So he's already with us now spiritually. Even if my body hasn't caught up, and it hasn't, even if my soul isn't yet renewed perfectly every day, I have to die daily. I have to die daily. I have to die daily. So the work of the Spirit is to help die you. How many of you are crucified with Christ? That's what Paul said. You can't understand that first verse of the third chapter until you understand 2:20. So he starts out by saying this. It says here, for through the law, gardia nomu, to the law I died. So by looking at the law, unlike that law written on your heart, everybody has that law. But only Jewish people receive the law that he revealed from Mount Sinai. We have a different law. Ours is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of sin and death, whether it was written on every man's heart or just to the Jewish people, is actually the same law. The natural law and the revealed law that God gave to Moses are the same. He just wrote something on there, be good and don't be bad. But the one that he gave to the Jewish was more perfect. It was fuller, it was final, and it was certain. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, the other religions knew they had to have a god, but they had 50 or 1,000 or 1,000,000, doesn't matter, whether they had 1 or 10. They didn't know because reason could not tell them how many gods to have or how many gods there were. So they just named all kinds of things. Some named sticks for God, some had stones for God, some took straw, some called it an alligator or a hippopotamus or a turtle. Whatever your gods are, they might be concepts like the Greeks, Aphrodite, that was this, and Mercury was that, and so on. So everybody had a god of some sort, and everybody has one. Might be yourself, might be your husband, might be your wife. Probably won't be a husband, but it could be a wife. I don't know why I came up with that idea. So God has rigged it so that nothing works without him. Do you think that's fair of God, that he made a whole universe of people and things and trees and bushes and so on, and you're the only one he made in his own image? Betzalemnu kedemutnu. Let us create man in our image. Be in Salem, image, nu, our. Ke means according to our likeness. So, demutnu. Ke demutnu. So, if he creates us in his image, that means we don't look like a snake. How many know that we don't look like snakes? Or a tree, or a bush, or a cloud. So, you are the only one in the universe that could be his steward and actually glorify him. All things can glorify him, but not all things can glorify him in the same way. For example, everything else could degenerate, but we are the only ones that could be his light and his truth and his vessel that could actually show him forth. So a turtle can't do that. So you weren't creating the image of a turtle. But also you have a capacity alike to be like him. Like he thinks, you can think. He wills, you can will. He's free, you can be free. So everything that God is like, you actually have the capacity to be like, but the only problem is you can't do it. But you have the capacity. He gave you the capacity. But all have sinned and fallen short. of the glory of God. Because you chose your essence not to be following of God. And everybody has done that. It's interesting that everybody, without any exception, all have sinned and fallen short. Well, so everybody's guilty. Everybody's guilty. They may not feel it. Some people don't feel it, but they are. But God did that so that he'd get all the glory. Because the purpose that he did that for is not so you'd stop or feel bad or change. He shows you your sin through the law. The first law, written on everybody's heart, that one convicts nobody. They know they did wrong, everybody. Even Buddhists know they've done wrong. They know. I always ask Muslims when I get into the cab in New York or wherever, are you a good Muslim? Because they got their picture up there. Are you a good Muslim? Well, I try. Well, I know, but do you do all that you're supposed to do? Because you should. If you got up there and you're supposed to, isn't it mean you're supposed to conform yourself to Allah's will and wishes? Well, I try. I mean, I make the best effort I can. So you're really not a good Muslim, I say. That kind of sets him up for another conversation. And so, you know, and I've never found one yet that has said so, even though they're on their little mats or whatever they're doing. Why? Because no man can please God on his own, by nature. I don't care how hard he tries. He's going to fail. Has anybody noticed that? Anybody who's married to anybody? Have you noticed that it's real hard to be perfect all the time? Or most of the time? Or some of the time? Or any time? We aren't perfect because God never gave perfection to man except through a relationship with the living God. Then you have it immediately. Then you are perfected in an instant. Just in an instant. So now you're born again, then you need to be daily filled with the Spirit, and then you are led of the Spirit. Only those are called the sons of God, because that's the only one. They can't know your heart, they can't know your soul, but they can only see your body, your behavior. So when they see your behavior, they never glorify you. They'll always glorify your Father. Why? Because if you did it, they won't glorify the Father. But if they know that was God, you must be a son or a daughter of God Almighty. What you just said or did, I know that wasn't you. I know you, but I know what you just did. It touched my heart. No religion in the world touches the heart. Everything done by the left hand touches only the body or the soul. So they're all body and soul. But we divide between body and soul. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit. We're spiritual people, not soulish. So what happens in our soul, you can have a new spirit and not have a new soul. Do you know that many Christians aren't good Christians? I mean, they're not mature like we are. And so, and they're judgmental, which we never do. And they're not happy all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. Did you know that there are some Christians that actually aren't perfected? I blame the pastors for that. Because the pastors aren't perfected. I wish they were. I think I'll help them. Nope. You see? Unless God does it. Did you know that God has everything already known? He knows everything. He knows exactly that in these last days, he's going to have an innumerable host. So never be discouraged about the bad guys winning. They're not winning. They never have and never will. Actually, everything's going our way. Everything. Did you know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord? So actually, everything is going our way. And the only thing you can do about it is worship him. This is the only thing you can do. That is something, if you do that, you'll always please God. Because you didn't do it. It was a response to what he did, who he is, and how much you understand that he's coming back for his bride. A spotless bride. And you know you can't do that. How many know that if he was to come today, your dress would not be without spot or wrinkle? So everybody thinking down below with our own sight, you'll never qualify. But that's foolish. Set your mind on things that are above. It's already done. And so for us, when he died, you died. That's why Paul says these words. I died through the law. How did I do that? Through the law. I tried, for through the law I died, that to God I might live with Christ. So our whole purpose is something you can't accomplish, but it's a gift. So our whole purpose is that you actually now, by faith, you live because you have eternal life. How'd you get that? I didn't. I just heard it, and then I believed it, and he counted that. I count that. So first he counts it. That's called imputed righteousness. Then he actually does it in you. That's called killing you, crucifying your flesh daily. You don't do that. He doeth that. He is a killer. The Holy Spirit is not usually known for killing people, but everything he does, every word in that Bible is a killer. If it spots any soulishness, any just slightest bit of addition to it, any mixture whatsoever, it's out. And he has to convict you every day of your sin. Oh, that was pride. And every day he expects you to say, not, I'm sorry, I feel bad about that, which is a lie. But anyway, he doesn't want you to do that, nor does he want you to say, I'll work on that. I'll try to do two good things today to make up for the one bad thing I did. He doesn't want that. All he wants you to say, I did that. That's called homologeo. I confess my sin. What does that mean? It means homo, same. Logeo, speak. Same speak. Say the same thing God says about your sin. I did it. That's what we have to teach children. That when they do something wrong, they don't want to get a spanking, so they'll lie, or they'll try to wiggle out of it, or they'll explain it. And little kids do it all the time. And it's really cute for an adult to watch them, because you know they did it. And then you say, did you do that? And they go, and it's just cute. Like, how dumb can you be? I was a little stupid kid like you. And so parents, you know, they know that. So you shouldn't just spank them because they've done something wrong. You should spank them occasionally. How many know that kids are sinning a lot? And so if you spank them all the time, you'd be spanking them all the time, and it would do no good, because after a while they'd have books in their pants. I found out that David in the back did that. I didn't know that. I never knew that until he shared that a little while back. I said, oh, no wonder. So when you cried, that wasn't real? No. Oh, man, I was totally taken in with that. Oh, Dad, I mean, I will never do that again. You know, and he was just play acting. Because he knew I had a mercy side to me, which was, if you do wrong and you should be punished, but you could call upon mercy and my unconditional love in me through Jesus Christ, I might give you that. Then I would hit the bed several times. Or I'd give them the stick. I don't know if David ever took this. Nobody ever took the stick. You spanked me because I think that sin you just did was probably due to my negligence. I probably wasn't a good father. And they go, I don't want to do that. Now, you got to do this when they're young. If you do it when it's older, that's no good. So get them while they're young, not his age. He would enjoy that. Yeah. But they don't understand it, because they know, even though you might have done something wrong, you're my dad, you're my mom. And so what we do when we listen to God is we are doing something we don't even understand. How can a holy God love an unholy person? And yet he not only loves you and forgives you, like no other God does, by the way. He is the only God that does this. He actually then will pay for your sin himself. And he'll not only do that, he will immediately hug you and love you and hold you close. But also, he will perfect you from day to day to day to day to day, constantly, until you're perfected. And he swore an oath. The good work that I began in you, I will surely finish. Well, there it is. So I will be perfected. How many know you don't look perfected today? At least nobody else can see it. But you are in God's sight already. Therefore, when he died, you died. And when he was buried, you were buried. And when he rose, you rose. And when he ascended, you ascended. And you are now where he is, because he said, wherever I am, you will be also. And you are now seated with Christ in heavenly places already. And if you meditated and chewed on that, it would change your whole picture of who you are and who he is. But the who you are is not as important as who he is, which changes who you are, which is most important. That's the glory of God, that actually he could take a sinner and turn him into a saint, a harlot, and she becomes a virgin. Only God can do that every day. Therefore, we have now the opportunity to do the same with others. As he has loved us and forgiven us and perfected us, then we're able to do the same with others. That's the glory of God. So there would be peace on earth then, and there is. And there is, because that's God's will. And he always gets his way, whatever he wants. So you actually can enjoy it now. You can actually be happy now. You can actually love now. You don't have to feel it. How many know if you wait for your feelings, it won't work? Because your feelings are not always there. Sometimes they're there and then sometimes they're not. So he doesn't want you to understand it or feel it or want it or desire it. He wants you just to do it, and you don't know whether it's the devil or you or Jesus. How many know that sometimes you say something, you don't know, I think that was me. I hope it was Jesus. Maybe it was the devil. You don't know. So you don't need to know. You know why? Because his promise is what you need to know. And his promises are greater than your behaviors. So you really don't need to examine yourself, because you couldn't even if you wanted to. All you can do is say, Lord, I don't know if I did right or wrong there. Could just kind of cover that, fix that, do some more mercy thing. You can always run back to the gift if you can't follow the example. I'm going to say that again. It is always correct for you and pleasing to God that even when you've done something that you know is wrong and others know it too, you can still say, God, even though man might not forgive me, you have already 2,000 years ago, yea, 6,000 years ago, you've already forgiven all my sins. You already provided him. Did you know that Jesus was crucified not on Calvary 4,000 years later into the world history, but 6,000 years before the world began? That's when he was crucified. That's when he was set aside. That was the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That was the day he's talking about. Now that day then became confirmed 4,000 years later. 2,000 years later, it was Abraham that got the promise. Then it was confirmed by his blood. 4,000, that was 2,000 years ago. And today we can live heaven on earth. Right now. How many know you can be happy right now? Because you are. You can live that way because that's who you are. But it's written in a book and you didn't have to believe what it says. Without understanding it, without wanting it, without feeling it. Just do it. Just do it. Say, well, I'm a new creation. Are you? Because your behavior is not. Maybe your heart is, but your soul is not. And your body is not reflecting all that, because your body only reflects what's in your soul, not what's in your spirit. So even though you're born again, how many know Christians sin? And so we confess our sins. Somebody says, I'm the righteousness of Christ. I don't need to confess my sin. I don't think so. How many know that people that say that are just, you know, not wanting to look at their sin because they don't want to go through the fire? Because a lot of our works will be wood, hay, and stubble. And they won't be precious stones. So the same fire that destroys the flesh also purifies the spirit, so that you're maturing and learning not to be better, but to die quicker. So the deader, the better. Because he only led the dead. So if you're not dead, then he won't be led. So he wants to kill you. He's not interested in you doing a good work. They just jump over, you know, and try to immediately, I'm born again. What's my gift? What's my calling? I'm ready. I got the gift. I'm ready to go. Well, it'll be mixed with flesh. And there's not a person in the world that could say, I never did a sin. I always did what God wanted. It's not possible. So even if you don't think you've sinned, God knows. And he sees it. But if you have the blood, he won't count it. So you have to go to him and say, God, I don't need you to get rid of the sin. I need you to be more in me. Fill me today. Get me into your presence. In other words, I need to know that you are here so that I can love you and talk to you. I don't have to wait to have an inspiration. I just do it. And as I do it and build the scaffolding, pretty soon the scaffolding falls away and the Holy Spirit takes over. And I went, wow, praise God. I really do believe. Wow, I really do love you. And then the next minute you do something weird And then that's okay, because he can forgive you again. How many know he can forgive you 490. It's amazing. How many know that? That's a lot. Has anyone ever gone over that?
Oops.
I mean, in a nanosecond. So we don't worry about that. We don't even think about that. We don't have to be conscious of that. What we need to be doing is beholding him, we are changed. So beholding myself changing doesn't change me. The victory is not the victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So you're an overcomer because you have faith that Jesus already overcame 6,000 years ago and certainly 2,000 years ago. But you can overcome every day, all the time, because you're related to him who now dwells in you. You have nothing to do with that. Passive righteousness is the only righteousness. So let's read now the scripture. I, through the law, died to the law, that to God I might live with Christ. I have been crucified. That word is soon estoros. Soon is when he died, I died together. The soon is the together. Together means when he died, I died. It's also said of all the other verbs. Whenever there's something that Christ did, you actually did it, because what he did was always for you, never for himself. He didn't go back to heaven because he was innocent. He never did sin, but he took your sins, which was a good work, because God promised to provide the lamb for the burnt offering, for the sacrifice, for the atonement. So God himself atoned for your sin. In other words, you sin, he dies. You sin, he gets spanked. You sin, he pays. That's a good God. And that would be the way we should be for this world. In this world, we would look at Al-Qaeda not because of her sins, but because of her ignorance. Because they don't know the Lord, the true and living God. They're still under the law. So because of that, they won't make it. But the issue then isn't whether they make it or not. It's whether you were the salt and the light so that they could see from the outside by your works. But they aren't yours. They're actually his works in you. So when he died, you died. That means you don't have to worry about the guilt of the past. You have no fear of the future because he's guaranteed it. The good work I began, I'll surely complete. So you're going to, as soon as that trumpet sounds, you're in. You're okay. You get it. Oh, new body. It just comes. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to understand it. You just do it. You don't have to make accounting. God already accounted you as righteous. Because of who you are, that's why you do what you do. And you choose what you choose. And you say what you say. Because of who you are in Christ. But that isn't an immediate, how many know it's not an immediate reality? So even though you're a Christian now and you're perfect in God's sight, he's only talking about your heart. He is not yet talking about your soul, which is being perfected, but he's doing that. That process is the Holy Spirit is in you to will and to do of the Father's good pleasure. So you don't have to do it. How many know you can't do it? But you don't have to do it. What you have to do is nothing. And just believe that he's already done everything. Be in connection with him. You don't do the connecting. He chose you. You didn't choose him. But once he chooses you, you have the freedom to choose him. You can only choose if he's already made the offer. But he made the offer to everybody. Whosoever will may come. So the Presbyterians are wrong. Sorry. I'm not against the Presbyterians. They're wonderful people. But they're not that good. Why? Because they feel that God made that choice. No. God foreknew whom he would predestine. But he did not predestine us in the sense that he predetermined us. You have the freedom to say yes or no. That's why people sin who are Christians. How many know Christians sin? Forgive one another. And there wouldn't be any need for that if they didn't sin. You sin yourself. You have to forgive yourself. It's the hardest one to forgive is yourself. But you have to learn to say every day, Lord, forgive me. I fell short of your glory today. I didn't live up to, I know what my problem is. I don't really know you completely yet. It isn't, I need to work harder. It's, I don't know you. I thought I did, but I can see I didn't. And every day, you could actually have a sin that lasted 2 days. I don't know if anybody's ever had that, where you could be proud and then you got humble because the Lord showed you your sin and you said, I'm sorry. And then the next day, you were proud again that you were humble the day before. And you know, you have to deal with it again. I mean, no, that does happen occasionally, where people actually keep sinning. You know, Lord, change me and be quick about it and take away my impatience. And I'm impatient about that. You know, you can't get rid of anger. You can't get rid of lust. You can't get rid of envy. You can't get rid of all those things. You can't even do anything about them. He's already done it. Why are you working at that? Just keep looking at him and his promise and meditate, chew upon that. This good news is so good because Christians are not worshipers. They're not. They're not worshipers. So worshipers is not singing. It's not, you know, tapping. It's not clapping. It's not playing instruments. Worship is thank you. I praise you. I love you. I adore you. Because I am not only saved, thank you. I'm not only being discipled, I praise you for that, but I'm also the bride of the bridegroom that he's perfecting so that men may see my good works in this world and glorify God for the next. Did you know that's how you win the world? You don't change it. You don't change yourself. You just believe in God. So if you could just go back to the foundation, if you just go back to the beginning, God has put everything here. So what Paul is saying here makes no sense to the Galatians. They couldn't possibly understand what he's saying here. That, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? The bewitching means someone has cast a spell over you, and here it is. You began in the spirit. Why are you now going back to the flesh? Why are you going back to the soul? Why are you going back to the law? Why are you legalistically trying to do something for God when it's already been done? If God separates something, it's separated forever. If God joins something, it's joined forever. How many know that people divorce, but what God has put together, he doesn't want anyone to put apart. But do you know if you stay in a bad marriage, you could kill each other. So we're doing God a favor, I'm sure, by not doing that. And not only that, but that person has, I used to be kind of good, but that person has brought out my bad side. So I'm going to get rid of that person because then I'll be better. I mean, none of those tricks work. So psychology is witchcraft. Yeah. Did you hear what I just said? So all philosophy is witchcraft. Everything that's done is witchcraft. So God wants you to know when Christ died. You are now dead. When Christ rose. You are now a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So now live in that. Dwell on that. Because good works will come from you, but they're not from you, they're through you. So the world thinks they're from you because they don't see into the Spirit. But you know that anything that we do, we know God did it. If it's good, God did it. And if it's not good, we did it. So the best has been saved to the last. We're about to see God responding again to a church in the midst of this wicked world, nasty world, foolish world. We're about to see not a lukewarm church, but a hot church. A hot church, which is completely, that's Zestos, a hot church that actually does the will of God on earth. And he'll say, well done. Well done. Did you do it? No. Christ did it. But he did it with me, in me, through me, for me. Therefore, to God be the glory. Love you all.